Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to All the Books, a weekly show of recommendations and enthusiasm regarding the week's new book releases. This is episode 410, and today we are talking about books being released on April 18th, 2023, and more. I'm Liberty Hardy, here with Tirza Price, and we're coming to you from bookriot.com. Tirza, hello!
Hey, Liberty, how are you?
I am good. The sun is shining. There are lots of birds. Things are starting to bloom. It's like 75 degrees here today, and it's April.
Incredible. Yeah, it's so nice when a switch has been flipped and all of a sudden you're like, okay, it's spring.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I mean, I'm not foolish enough to think that we still possibly couldn't get a little bit of snow here and there because I live in the Midwest. It's always possible through like Mother's Day, but it does feel nice to like look outside and be like, oh, I don't have to wear a coat outside today. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It also creeps me out a little bit. Like, when I look at the plants and trees outside my window, and, like, yesterday there was nothing on them, and then today there's, like, little buds. It's like, you did that while I was sleeping. It's weird. It's very weird. But I want to tell you an animal story, but it has a happy ending, I promise.
Okay.
I put some new feeders out in my yard, like, at the back end of our yard, because I want to attract wrens. That's my goal this year. Last year was orioles, this year is wrens. Like, they're funny little birds. And I was looking out the window yesterday with my husband, and I said, I think that there's a dead bird under the feeder. And he's like, where? And I was like, under the new feeder, there's a little brown animal, like, on the ground. And I was like, oh, it's so sad. I'm going to go get it and take care of it. And as I got closer, I realized it wasn't a bird. It was the nose and mouth of a woodchuck that had dug a hole underneath the bird feeder and was sticking its little face out of the ground, like just waiting for the birds to drop seeds. I don't know, but it was so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Then it saw me and was like, boop, and went back in the hole. That hole was not there last week when I put those bird feeders in. They work so fast.
It's very enterprising. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So,
no dead bird. It was a lawn bear.
I love it. Yes, it's fun to see all the birds and everything come back. There were pelicans on the lake.
Aww.
That I live near this year, which was funny because everybody was like, there are swans on the lake. And I was like, really? You know, we don't really have swans on this little lake. And then Tab and I were walking in the dogs and I was like, oh my gosh, I think those are swans because like they were big and they were white and they had the long necks. And then like one of them turned and Tab was like, that's a pelican. And I was like, oh my goodness. And there were like 100 pelicans just hanging out on this lake. And it's part of their like migratory journey. Like they made the newspaper and everything. And we were like, what? So
that is very cool.
Yeah. I didn't ever think that I would see pelicans in the middle of Iowa, but I did.
That's very cool.
Yes.
I want to see a pelican.
Oh, I should have taken pictures. Sorry.
Now I'm thinking about Gravity Falls and like the big bird and that. Anyway, my brain goes to weird places all the time. But we're going to talk about books today. Before we do that, I want to say that today's corresponding area code with episode 410 is located in Eastern Maryland. It says it covers Baltimore, Columbia, Glen Burnie, Ellicott City, and Dundalk, if I'm saying that right. So hello to everyone listening from those places today. And I want to remind you that if you are looking for fascinating stories, informed takes, useful advice, and more from experts in the world of books and reading, you can subscribe to Book Riot's newest newsletter, The Deep Dive, to get exclusive content delivered to your inbox. Subscribe and choose your membership level today at bookriot.substack.com. For $5 a month, you can get this deep dive edition of the newsletter in your inbox twice a month. Or if you're on the fence or need some time before making the commitment, you can get a free subscription and get the Splash Pad, which rounds up some of our experts' recommended reading, and bookish lifestyle goods monthly. So you can check all that out at bookriot.substack.com. And now we are going to hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her sole family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Penguin Young Readers. So this book I'm about to tell you about is giving Five Worlds meets Spirited Away realness. It's about a girl fighting her way back home after getting trapped in the spirit world. It follows Anzu, who has moved to a new town during Oban, a time for families to remember and celebrate their ancestors. And ever since her Alba-chan died, Oban has lost its magic. She doesn't feel much like celebrating anymore. So while avoiding holiday festivities, Anzu spots a stray dog down the street, a dog that seems to be staring right at her. So when she chases it, she slips and falls down a bridge, losing consciousness. And when she awakes, she's in the Shinto underworld known as Yomi. The stray dog, she finds out, is actually the gatekeeper of Yomi, and he warns her to return to the human realm before it's too late. Like I said, Miyazaki realness. I'm super excited for this. So make sure to pick up Anzu in the Realm of Darkness by Mai K. Nguyen. And thanks again to Penguin Young Readers for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so my first pick for today is one that I know a lot of people have been highly anticipating, and it's getting great reviews, and I thought it was excellent. It is Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club by J. Ryan Straddle. Straddle wrote Kitchens of the Great Midwest and The Lager Queens of Minnesota, which are also two highly rated and beloved books. All three of these are like based around family and food. They're all set in the Midwest and they're like multi-generational family dramas. This one, the Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club, I almost forgot what I was saying. It jumps back and forth in time and different points of view. It's based around the, yes, Lakeside Supper Club. It's sort of, it's like 1996, and it's sort of like an old-fashioned restaurant in 1996, where people would go and smoke and eat like a giant prime rib every Saturday night and just hang out and gossip and stuff. And the Supper Club is now owned by Mariel Prager, who inherited it from her grandfather. The restaurant skipped her mother, Florence, for reasons that you'll find out in the book, and her grandfather left it to Mariel. And Florence has not spoken with Mariel for many, many years, for reasons that you will find out, and hasn't even been in their town for many years. But her grandfather, Floyd, has passed away, and at the funeral, Mariel is surprised to see her mother, Florence, there. And so now it's a few days later, and Mariel gets word from another town citizen that her mother wants her to come pick her up at the church. She's been at a church function, and she's like, why can't my mother call and ask me herself? But she's like, all right, whatever, I'll do it. And then she's kind of surprised because she's like, I've barely seen her. I haven't talked to her in years. And now I've agreed to go pick her up at the church. But on her way to the church, something happens, and she ends up meeting a woman. She doesn't know very well, but it turns out this woman, she finds out from other people in town who are gossiping that this woman sort of lives outside the town's social circle because she's been ostracized for reasons. And Mariel likes this woman. And because she gets delayed, she doesn't get to the church when her mother wants her to pick her up. And at this point, her mother has decided she isn't leaving the church. She's going to stay there. Now, on top of this story, we go back in time and we hear about Mariel's husband, Ned. We go to the early 80s. We find out that his family owns a fast food chain dynasty, basically. They have a chain of diners that are spreading out from the Midwest and are soon to take over America. They're very, very wealthy. And Ned meets Mariel. They fall in love. They get married. And we learn the story of, like, how they meet and, like, Ned's family and, like, his responsibilities to his family, like, because his dad is, like, you know, training him to basically take over the business. At the beginning of the book, Mariel's husband, Ned, is out of town and Mariel has a miscarriage. This has happened many times before. She's 39 now and she's worried, like, this was her last chance. And while we're hearing that story, we learn about Florence, Mariel's mother. We go back way back to like 1930-something, where Florence lives with her mother, Betty, and they always live on the run. Florence's father is absent. She doesn't actually even know who her father is or the true story about him. She just knows that like they move from town to town, they get a new place, they skip out on the rent, they go to another town, they get a new place, they skip out on the rent. And all Florence wants is to settle down. She's like 12 years old now. And so the same thing happens. They have to leave in the middle of the night and they end up at this diner and they meet this very nice man named Floyd who says that he lives near there and he owns a place called the Lakeside Supper Club. And he invites them to come stay in one of the cabins and he and Florence's mom start dating. And all of a sudden she has this steady life and her mother is happy for a change. She's like not seen her mother like this before. But then Florence does something that causes devastation in many people's lives and changes the path of her life. Now, there are several stories of happiness and also tragedy. It reminds me a lot of Frederick Bachman, like A Man Called Ove, or Otto, if you're talking about the movie. There's all these dynamics about the town, there's gossip, there's, you know, family conflict, there's, you know, people being scandalized by people disregarding societal norms and also being scandalized by the changing world. It's very easy reading. The stories flow very easily. Even though it jumps back and forth quite a bit, I didn't find it confusing at all. And the characters are great. It's about family and loss and trying to move on. It's a really great family drama about complex relationships that will pull at your heartstrings. I do want to give content warnings. As I mentioned, Mariel has several miscarriages. There's also content warnings for death of a child. There's animal death, which happens on the page and is extended very early on. There's homophobia, sexual harassment, shaming, illness and loss of a loved one, suicide, grief, and trauma. That is Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club by J. Ryan Straddle.
Awesome. So my first pick is The Secret Service of Tea and Treason by India Holton. And it's kind of funny how this has worked out because I think the first two books in this series, and the series is called Dangerous Damsels, are the Wisteria Society of Lady Scoundrels and the League of Gentlewomen Witches. And both of those books have come out in April during my week on the show. So I know that I have talked about the first two books. I love them so, so much. They are really fun. They're kind of just like delightfully unhinged Victorian romps with magic and romance and all sorts of misadventures. You do not necessarily have to read them in order, but I recommend it because even though each of the books have different protagonists, you know, characters do make cameos in later books. And so there is kind of that progression there. But The Secret Service of Tea and Treason, we've had lady pirates, we've had witches, and now we have spies. And so it stars Alice, who is trained as a special agent for an entity called AUNT. And that, I forget what it stands for, but it is basically like this spy agency that is supposed to be spying on the witches and the pirates. And she is like one of their top rated number one agents. And her code name is A. And she's always heard about Agent B. He is apparently also one of their top agents. And she does not know his identity at the start of the book. But they are thrown together to pose as a married couple in order to investigate a potential deadly weapon that could be used to kill Queen Victoria. And so these two agents are, you know, very by the book and by the rules. And they have to you know, convince these pirates whose house they're trying to infiltrate that they're just a normal, happy, newlywed couple, which is hard for them because they are not used to letting loose like that. Also, both Bea, whose real name is Mr. Bixby, and Alice, they're both neurodivergent, which was really cool to read and see how that played out on the page. So, like, Alice is very literal, and she, you know, seems to be a little bit naive about the world in that she just sees things as very black and white. Bixby has some like sensory concerns where like it's like if you touch him, he kind of reacts in an extreme way, and they have to, you know, they appreciate each other and how they work because they appreciate their professionalism. But then it's kind of fun to see how like they learn to also fall for one another and appreciate, you know, how they can help each other out, both on the job and also on a more personal level. It was a really lovely romance to watch unfold, and it was really, really, really funny, especially with Alice constantly taking every single like phrase or metaphorical saying as like literal. I was cracking up while reading this book, and I listened to an early audio copy, which is narrated by Elizabeth Nolden and was really well done. So again, if you like really funny, really madcap type of romantic adventures, don't sleep on the Dangerous Damsel series by India Holton. They're so, so good. And The Secret Service of Tea and Treason is out now.
Okay. I love those books. I'm very excited to read the new one. And my next pick for today is actually a book that came out a couple of weeks ago that I just had the pleasure of reading, and it was so good, I thought I should mention it. I think I mentioned it in the newsletter last week, but I thought I should mention it here too. It's called Parachute Kids, a graphic novel by Betty C. Tang. This is one of the best graphic novels of the year, like hands down. It was fantastic. It's about a young Taiwanese girl named Feng Li, and along with her parents and her older brother and sister, it's 1980, she and her family come to California from Taiwan. They're told that they're going on a vacation. She's very excited to meet Mickey Mouse. Like, this is her big goal because they're going to California on vacation. She's going to meet Mickey Mouse. It's going to be great. Maybe Mickey will let her live at Disneyland. She's thinking she might be able to talk him into it. So she and her family show up. They stay with friends. They visit all the famous sites. And then as the end of their vacation nears, her parents tell them that they have news. Their dad is leaving. His visa is about to expire, and he's going back home to work, and they are staying there with their mother. And they're going to be enrolled in school. And this is, like, shocking to the kids, because they didn't get to say goodbye to their friends. They didn't know this was going to happen. They didn't get to get any of their stuff. Like, they're just told, like, you're staying here with your mom. So they're pretty upset about it. And Feng Li is sad and angry. But her parents are worried that there's going to be war in Taiwan. And also her brother got in some trouble with some very influential people. So they're trying to keep them out of trouble. So they keep telling the kids that this is for the best. So Feng Li is enrolled in school. She is the only Asian student in her grade, except another girl who wants nothing to do with her, which she doesn't understand, like why she won't talk to her, like why she won't interact with her. And she also, her mother forces them all to have American names. So she chooses Anne because it was at the top of the list that she was given. And she doesn't speak English. Like, Feng Li doesn't speak English. The kids tease her and say horribly racist things to her. And she just has to, like, endure it, basically. And then a few months later, her mother tells them that her visa is expiring and she has to return home. And the kids are not going with her. And their visas will be expiring. So now they will be there undocumented, and they're going to be staying with their neighbors, and they have to follow the rules and don't make any trouble because she doesn't want anyone to find out that they're undocumented. But then the neighbors have to move. So all of a sudden, these three kids who thought they were going to Disneyland are in California, like renting a home. Their parents leave them with an account. Their oldest sister is in charge, and they have no parental supervision, no adult supervision, and they're trying to stay out of trouble. But, you know, like, if there are no adults around, like, there are some things that you might not want to do, like go to school or follow all the rules or listen to your older sister, you know. So the three kids start butting heads, and they all get in trouble of their own kind in one way or another. And
the expression parachute kids is one that was used for kids that came over and then their parents left them. So that is where that phrase comes from. You know, and now you have three kids that are trying to make their way in a country they barely know without their parents. And we find out about the people who are kind to them and the people who take advantage of them. And they're just trying to keep it together and stay out of trouble and wait for their parents to come back to them. It's really compelling. It's really interesting. It's heartbreaking. There's also lots of humor. When her older sister goes grocery shopping for the first time and buys things that she thinks are food, there's also a scene where the family goes to a Chinese restaurant and they're all excited to go to a Chinese restaurant, but actually it's owned by Italians and the noodles are spaghetti and they don't recognize any of the dishes and they find it quite humorous. Tang, the author, said that she was a parachute kid, but this isn't a memoir, but a collection of several stories of her own, as well as ones she heard about other parachute kids. It's an important look at racism and immigration and the heartbreaking decisions that these families made to help their children. Obviously, content warnings for grief and also for racism. This is Parachute Kids, a graphic novel by Betty C. Tang.
That sounds amazing, and it kind of reminds me of Almost American Girl by Robin Ha, where she also goes to the United States and she thinks she's going on vacation, and then her mom's like, oh, surprise, we're not going back to Korea. And she's very angry because she doesn't speak any English and she's just stuck there. That one actually is a memoir, really amazing graphic memoir.
Yeah, it's a good comp. That one's also great.
Awesome. So my next pick is No Boy Summer by Amy Spalding. And I'm just super pumped about this one coming out. It is about two sisters, Lydia and Penny. They are fairly close. They have had a lot of drama their last year, mostly due to boys. And they have just decided that they don't want any more boy drama ruining their life. So they have decided to take a summer off of boys. They are staying with their aunt and her boyfriend in LA while their parents are in Europe. And they are all excited for just like this amazing summer of experience where they're going to focus on, you know, being sisters and supporting each other and following their dreams rather than romance. And it seems to be going pretty well because Penny has an internship and Lydia has a part-time job at a coffee shop. But while Lydia is at her part-time job, she's making some new friends at the coffee shop. And one of these people that she has met is another girl who she is kind of attracted to. And that's kind of new for her, not the attraction to girls, but like the idea that like, oh, instead of dating boys, I could date a girl. And this girl also seems to like me back. So she's kind of, you know, trying to fool herself into thinking like, oh, I'm not like violating the rules of No Boy Summer if I date a girl, right? But of course, it's not quite that simple. So I'm not finished with this book yet, but I have read enough to know that I love it. I also really loved Amy Spalding's The Summer of Jordi Perez that came out a few years ago. And it's also similarly a queer romance set in LA during the summer. And it just made me grin so much while reading it. So this book similarly is bringing me all the happy vibes. So if you want something that is about sisterhood and family, but also about, you know, just finding out who you are and exploring that, and also a bit of unexpected romance, definitely pick up No Boy Summer by Amy Spalding.
Okay. I also love The Summer of Jordi Perez. It's a great book.
So good. Yes.
We said yes at the same time.
We Jinx! Did.
I don't remember how that works. Like, you count and then somebody a soda. I'm just gonna forego that and just, I'll buy you a soda if I ever see you.
Sounds good.
Okay, so those are books that we have read and enjoyed or are in the middle of reading. And now we are going to talk about more of today's releases in both hardcover and paperback that we are excited about but haven't necessarily read. I'm going to tell you something that I never thought that I would be saying. I think I hit my horror threshold, like, for a little bit. like a couple of weeks ago, I heard about this book that was supposed to be like super gross and scary. And I was like, yeah, I want to read that. And I'm going to read it in the middle of the night. And in the middle of it, they were like eating babies and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm good with horror for a while. And I'm like, I stopped reading it. And so I didn't get to this book like I hoped to, because this is a collection of horror stories, but I'm definitely like going to get back to it soon. It's called The Wishing Pool and Other Stories by Tananarive Due, who is the author, the amazing author of the collection Ghost Summer and The Good House and The Betweens. She's amazing. Like, if you want to read an author similar to Stephen King, which is something that people ask all the time, like, read Tananarive Due. I know I've talked about her books before. I think I talked about Ghost Summer when it came out. There's like one about going in the water. This thing's in the water that like scared me so much. And from what I understand, there is a story that is related to the area where Ghost Summer takes place. This is her first new book in 7 years, but she also, because we are in for a treat, has a novel coming out at the end of this year called The Reformatory, which I just got yesterday and I'm very excited about. Like, just telling you that I stopped reading horror for a couple weeks. It makes me want to read horror. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to get back into it. But she's, I mean, Tananarive Due is so great at what she does. She teaches black horror. Jordan Poole was actually a guest in her class one time, a guest speaker. And I have read the first story, which is also the title story, about this young girl who had a friend when she was little, and they found this pool of water in the middle of the woods, and they made a wish, and it came true. But not in like the way they expected, but they tried it out again. And it turns out that this pool of water is kind of like the devil. Like, you need to be very, very, very specific and careful what you ask for, because it will turn it around in ways that you did not expect. And so she and her friend, they never use it again. But now it's many years later, her father is very ill, and she decides she's going to go try and find this wishing pool in the woods again and make a wish. It's really good. And I'm excited to check out the rest of it. Plus, like, you can just do it a little bit at a time. So it's going to be great. This is The Wishing Pool and Other Stories by Tananarive Due.
Oh, that sounds so good. And I like reading horror. Watching horror is harder for me. But I discovered something about myself this last month, which is when I am home alone, I cannot read horror. So that was, there was like a week. Yeah, there was a week when my partner went on a business trip and they were gone for like 7-8 days. And I picked up a horror novel on like day 3. And then I was like, nope, can't do it. I don't know what it is. It's just like the reassurance of like another person in the house gives me enough bravery to read horror. But that sounds amazing.
Yeah, maybe I just read like the wrong book, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Like, it seems to have dialed it way up, you know. Like, I just need to kick it back a little bit and I'll be fine.
Fair. All right, so my next pick is a book that I literally picked because of the cover. I was like, oh, that looks fun. It is called Damsel by Evelyn Skye. And upon some further research, I discovered this is I believe it's a YA novel. It is based off of an original screenplay of a Netflix movie that is coming out this fall, starring Millie Bobby Brown. So the basic premise of this is Elodie is a princess, but she is a princess of this country that has pretty much been ravished by famine. Like, her people are starving. They're in dire straits. She does not dream of like happily ever after and wealth and, you know, the fantasy of romance, because she just wants to like ensure that her people survive. So when a wealthy nation offers to arrange the marriage between her and their prince, and then they also like offer her country a lot of money, she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I will get married if it means that like my people won't starve to death. So she's whisked away to this other kingdom, where she quickly finds out that she has not been brought here to be married to the prince. She has been brought here to be sacrificed to a dragon, because the only reason this country has all their wealth and their luxuries is because they sacrifice a princess to the dragon every year. So she has to go and face the dragon and defeat it on her own if she is going to survive. I mean, I like the idea of a damsel saving herself. I watched like the little tiny blip of the Netflix movie trailer. It looks really cool. And also, I have not read anything that Evelyn Skye has written, but I know that she's written quite a few very popular fantasy, YA fantasy novels. So this one looks like it could be pretty fun. I always like that twist on classic fairy tale tropes. So that is Damsel by Evelyn Skye. Not to be confused with Damsel by Elena K. Arnold, which is also kind of fairy tale-esque, but a different story altogether.
All right. My other pick for today is Juno Loves Legs by Carl Geary, which is a very unusual title. When I got it in the mail, I was like, I don't know what this means. Could this be another horror book? Who knows? But no, it is a novel of 1980s working class Ireland. It is about two 12-year-olds, Juno and her best friend, whose name is Sean, but she's nicknamed him Legs because he has very long, skinny legs. This book is just, oh my goodness, I'm just going to say that to begin with. I've read the first quarter of it, and these poor kids lead such sad, violent lives. Juno lives in poverty. Sean Legs lives in wealth, but they're each missing a parent. There's a lot of violence in their home. There's violence at school. They both attend, you know, Catholic school, and the nuns hit them. And there's a priest who just is just so awful to them all the time. And they just kind of find each other because they're both outcasts for one reason or another. And like I said, I've read the first quarter of it. It's narrated by Juno. It reminds me a lot of Patrick McCabe's writing. It reminds me a lot of The Butcher Boy. I don't know if you've read that or watched the movie, which is excellent. But I am a little concerned for the evil priest's dog because they keep trying to come up with a way to get back at him. And we keep hearing about how much he loves this dog. So I'm like, no. Should I keep reading? I don't know. I'll let you know if anything happens to the dog. But it's excellent. Like, it's excellent. It, you know, if you like, you know, Shuggie Bain, you know, it's gritty and beautiful and just so, so devastating. It's called Juno Loves Legs by Carl Geary. And now it is time for another sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Lee Bardugo. This is one I'm actually super excited about. I liked Lee Bardugo's other adult fantasy books, and so I'm really looking forward to this one. It's set in the Spanish Golden Age during a time of high-stakes political intrigue and glittering wealth. It follows Luzia, a servant in the household of an impoverished Spanish nobleman who reveals a talent for little miracles. Her social climbing mistress demands Luzia use her gifts to win over Madrid's most powerful players, but what begins as simple amusement takes a dangerous turn. Luzia will need to use every bit of her wit and will to survive, even the help of Guillén Santángel, an immortal familiar whose own secrets could prove deadly for them both. So The Familiar by Lee Bardugo is on sale now. And like I said, it's a must read of the season. It's perfect for anyone who loves history, a little bit of magic, a lot of danger. You can get your copy now at LeeBardugoTheFamiliar.com. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Lee Bardugo, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be, right? Right, girl, like we all know. So just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong got it going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, Tirza, what do you have for us next?
All right, my final pick is The Fiancé Farce by Alexandria Belflor. And I just like saying that title because it feels like it could almost be a tongue twister. It is a queer romance and it looks so cute. It is basically fake marriage about a bookstore owner and a cover, like a romance novel cover model. So it's about Tansy, who has her family's bookstore and, you know, she loves it, but she is not lucky in love. She invents, you know, a fake girlfriend, and the girlfriend is inspired by the cover model of a best-selling romance novel. And she figures, what's the harm in just pretending that I have this fake girlfriend that my family will never, ever meet? Well, then she actually meets this cover model who, as it turns out, is kind of the black sheep of her family, but she is also the heir of their publishing company, and she cannot inherit unless she is married. So when she discovers that a bookstore owner has been pretending to fake date her, she's like, oh, well, let's just get engaged. This is definitely a marriage of, you know, mutual benefit of convenience. And that's kind of always a fun little romantic trope I like to see. And, maybe this isn't going to be like the most groundbreaking trope or premise ever, but I am still firmly in like the realm of it's so hard to find really like quality queer romance. And I know that we've had a lot more come out in like the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. And I'm so grateful for that. But for me, I'm greedy. I'm like, it's not enough. So I love it when we get, you know, the books that are queer that play with these tropes, because I feel like we have not had enough of them yet. And so I just want to have them all. This sounds like really cheesy fun, and I cannot wait to devour it. So that is The Fiancé Farce by Alexandria Belflor.
Okay. And those are some books that we are going to read, in the middle of reading, are excited to read. And now we are going to talk about a few of today's paperback releases. These are all books that were in hardcover that are coming out in paperback today, starting with The Pallbearers Club by Paul Tremblay. It's a thriller about a young man who becomes friends with the cool girl, which makes him very happy, but then it turns out that she's really interested in dead people, which is not so cool. Half Blown Rose by Lisa Cross Smith, about an artist who travels to Paris after her husband's betrayal, spends some time there finding out about herself and what she wants in her life. Nobody Gets Out Alive, stories by Lee Newman. This is a story collection that was longlisted for the National Book Award and the Story Prize. Didn't We Almost Have It All, In Defense of Whitney Houston by Garrick Kennedy. This is an exploration of singer Houston's life and what we got wrong and right about her. Breaking Day by Adam Oyebanji. This is a Book Riot favorite, and I haven't read it yet, but I have a copy, Story of My Life, about a spacecraft going through the universe, and there's a young man on it, and he is moving up the chain of command. He's gonna be going places. And then one day he spies a woman outside the spacecraft without a suit on. And now he's wondering, is she real? Should I mention it to somebody? You know, or should I just put my head down and keep working? How to Be Perfect, The Correct Answer to Every Moral Question by Michael Schur. Schur is the creator of The Good Place. He himself is very interested in philosophy, so in this book, he kind of lets out his inner cheaty and talks about philosophy, but like in a funny, accessible way, because philosophy confounds me, and I found this to be a great read. Forbidden City by Vanessa Hua, about a teenage girl in 1960s China who is brought in to entertain members of the Communist Party and becomes Mao's lover and confidant. Woman of Light by Callie Fajardo-Anstein. This is about a woman in 1930s Denver trying to survive after her brother is run out of town by a white mob. An End of the World House by Adrian Selt, about two friends in the Louvre when around the time the world is ending, and also it turns out to be Groundhog Day because they keep reliving certain things inside the museum over again. And those are paperback releases for today. Tirza, what are you going to read next?
I'm excited. I'm going to read Dead Flip by Sarah Farazin next. It is a YA novel about a friend group who loses one of their friends. He like mysteriously disappears. And then like a number of years later, they're teenagers and he shows up again, but he is still a kid. And he says that he was sucked into a pinball machine. So it sounds a little out there, a little fun. I like the cover. It's giving me like Stranger Things vibes. So I'm excited to read it.
It's really good.
Yay!
I liked it. Kelly liked it. It's really fun. Plus Sarah is hilarious. So, so funny. I think one Book Riot Live trivia one year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's fantastic.
Just so funny.
I've read pretty much everything she's written, and I've seen her speak in person, and yeah, she's fun. So I'm excited to finally get to this one.
Well, I am very excited because I just got my hot little hands on a copy of Come and Get It by Kylie Reed, who wrote Such a Fun Age, which was a huge deal when it came out. Really buzzy, really great. We talked about it on the show. And I know that I have been eagerly anticipating her next novel. And now I have it. It comes out in January. And it sounds awesome. And yay books!
Is what I'm going to say next.
Yeah. That is all for today. You can go to bookriot.substack.com to get the deep dive. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our awesome audio editor, Jen Zink, who, even though you wouldn't know it, I am making work very hard today. You can drop us a line at allthebooks@bookriot.com. You can find us online. Tirza, where can people find you?
You can find me mostly on Instagram. I am at Tirza Price.
And I mostly hang out on Instagram as well, at Friends and Comes Alive. And if you want to give us a treat, you can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and you can leave a rating or review. We would greatly appreciate it because it helps other book lovers like you find us. And as much as, well, not exactly like you, not just like you. I mean, you're all special, I promise. And as much as we would love to tell you about more books today, we just don't have the time, but you can read about more titles out now in the show notes at bookriot.com/allthebooks, as well as find a link to our weekly new books newsletter. And for more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. And in the meantime, happy reading.